What's up, everybody? Another episode of 3Y with EG3 starts right now. What's up, everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of 3Y with EG3. That is me talking to you guys, Eddie Gritter III, host of the 3Y NASCAR podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions, all of motorsports. And tonight, this is your stage break edition of the podcast, and a little bit busy on the news side in NASCAR going into Watkins Glen weekend here beginning tomorrow in upstate New York. And for the Xfinity Series, this is the first of many road course races for them on their journey to the playoffs. And we're going to talk a little bit NFL football on the back end of the stage break. But Big D, we got some sad news to start off with on that we did not address on this podcast. Tom Higgins, who was one of the better bloggers, or say writers, back in the day, passed away at the age of 80 years old. I believe it was early this week or last week at some point. Higgins was a pioneer in the NASCAR media world, a workhorse writer, okay, got that right, capable of wrangling fans and friends with stories both written and spoken. He was the first newspaper person to cover a complete NASCAR season back in 1980, and from 1964 through 1997, Higgins tracked the sport full-time for the Charlotte Observer with a talent and passion that later earned him the Squire Hall Award for NASCAR Media Excellence in 2015. Also, there was also a part in here that I read a little bit earlier that he set up one of the early NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee speech. I believe it was, I can't remember who it was at the time, but he set up one of the guy's speeches from there. So sorry, I can't remember right now, but he was part of one of those guys, or I would say the current inductee from last year. I can't really remember, but Tom Higgins passed away at the age of 80. Thoughts and prayers to everyone who is involved, and prayers also to the Higgins family. Moving along now to kind of put a bow tie to Pocono weekend. Post penalties were announced yesterday, as well as involved, of course, the 95 of the Levine Family Racing Chevy of Casey Kane and Kevin Harvick pretty much books in an adventurous week at Pocono. Harvick and Kane were each docked 10 points, and a pair of team members were suspended indefinitely. It was during the Pocono race. Nobody mentioned that. So, and then, of course, and this also kind of affects Harvick in a way, because he's trying to chase Kyle Busch in regards to the regular season championship. But now, after he got hit, he was one of 13 cars that was hit. I believe Casey Kane was part of that mix also. There's a whole bunch of cars that were hit with the post-qualifying inspection deal there at Pocono, which was crazy enough. I said 13 cars did not pass inspection. And later on here, I'll have to go back and check the point standings as it's coming through, as Big D's researching that up right now. But going in, Harvick trails Kyle Busch in the playoff points description as well, with Kyle Busch's sixth victory of the season, and he retakes the playoff position as well. So, and we have some breaking news on the stage break edition of Three Wide here. So just getting in here, just recently, Nationwide, the sponsor of Alex Bowman and Henrik Motorsports, they have expanded their partnership with Henrik and Bowman. Yeah, this was over an hour or so ago, so I'm just getting this just now. Big D's writing it on his board here, telling me, yep, Bowman extends an extension. Henrik Motorsports announced Thursday that Nationwide has agreed to a 2-year extension with the organization, a deal which increases its primary sponsorship with the current driver of that 88, Alex Bowman, in the 88 car, Chevy Camaro, to 20 races beginning with the 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Joining Henrik Motorsports back in 14, Nationwide served as a primary sponsor for Dale Earnhardt Jr. in number 88 from 2015 to, of course, last season. The Columbus, Ohio-based insurance and financial services company is in the middle of a 19-race majority sponsorship agreement with Alex Bowman at the helm. And then Alex Bowman goes on to say earlier this afternoon, as we're recording this on August 2nd, 2018, the beginning of August, and we're closing in on the playoffs with Alex Bowman eyes a spot for the postseason here in later in September. Bowman, quote, "It's been a great to work with Nationwide. It's been so much fun," as he was telling NASCAR.com earlier today. During his trip with Earnhardt in the Xfinity Series, driver Tyler Reddick at the Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Quote, "Whether we're doing stuff up at Children's Hospital or whatever, whenever we're working together, it's just been awesome. The program works really well for them, and it's been working really well for both sides," end quote. So yeah, a little breaking news here on 3 Wide. Talking Alex Bowman, Nationwide, of course, Nationwide partner with, of course, Junior. And now, of course, Junior's up in the NBC booth doing his thing. But that's big for Henrik Motorsports' part, is Henrik is Nationwide re-signing with Bowman. And, of course, Bowman is coming off of his career-best third-place finish at Pocono, which brightened his gap to Stenhouse. But a lot can happen. We've talked about this. We talked about this before this week. And anything can change, especially even, I mentioned this on the post-race episode. If you have not checked it out with Zach from Pocono Record, I would most highly encourage you to do that. We've had some great episodes over the last several weeks. We have guests on here, including Michael Gardner of Watkins Glen International. And that was a great episode to do. So if you have not checked that out yet, I encourage you to do that. As you get yourself pumped up for the Glen this weekend, you're listening to 3 Wide with EG3, Eddie Gritter III, here with you guys tonight on this stage break edition of the podcast. Just a breaking news, you're just joining us. Bowman, I'm just getting it. I just got it on the air. So, Bowman and Nationwide are staying together here for the next two seasons right there. And now, I want to put a bow tie on the situation with Eric Almirola and Matt DiBenedetto that happened kind of late in the game after the Pocono race. This happened after the checkered flag. Coppola's took in the checkered flag. Two of them tangling up with one another in the backstretch, fighting for, quote-unquote, what I've been saying, 25th position, Big D. 25th, which usually DiBenedetto fights for usually every week, but this year, though, besides that, he's had some good runs and has been out-muscling some of his competition throughout the season. But DiBenedetto frustrated with Almirola, or vice versa, where mainly Matt DiBenedetto taking his frustration out on Almirola, turns him around, and Almirola, who was in the middle of Kevin Harvick's situation on pit road, getting Unfortunately, contact on the left rear end of Harvick pretty much cost any chance for Harvick to win from the back of the field. And then Almirola hops on Sirius XM, I believe, and had his comments to say, basically saying what he had to say, basically, with the mic in his mouth. And says that, well, you know, I was fighting for 20, well, summarizing, putting it like this, saying, you know, I'm fighting for every position on racetrack as well. We're battling for the lead or for 25th. Obviously, I didn't know that he was that desperate to get to 25th. So, end quote. And, you know, I've heard some reactions from the NASCAR American podcast and kind of, you know, taking a step back after seeing that and listening to some and then looking at the content again, the big man, Di Benedetto, could have out-muscled. You know, when we look at the size and skill, size and ability, if you look like on person to person, Di Benedetto looks huge, boy. Woo-hoo! He would have probably not only out-muscled him, but probably knocked that Almirola if it would come down to a UFC fight. But two of them talk, Matt Di Benedetto and Eric Almirola had something to say. For a guy that's been soundly well-mannered in the Cup Series, one of the probably most liked drivers under the radar, so to speak, boy, he had a lot to say. And for a guy that's trying to get to the playoffs, not only that, but to finally break through for his first win, he had an awful lot to say. And, you know, I would have just left it at the racetrack if you would ask me. Yeah, it's easy for me to say that, but yes, I'm a quiet, calm-mannered person, but you definitely don't want to be making enemies this late in the season. And Di Benedetto is Mr. Di Burrito, quote-unquote. He's one of the more popular guys on social media, definitely an entertainment to follow on social media. But, yeah, Di Benedetto, he was hot on Almirola, and then Almirola fires back on Sirius XM. So I would have definitely left that at the racetrack and not carried it in. Almirola should be thinking about closing the deal, getting his first win in a very long-ass time in the Cup Series instead of barking at Di Benedetto. And then he should take that and throw it at his crew. Because he's had a couple of chances here this summer to lock one up, and he has not done that. So, you know, for what it is, Almirola, you need to turn the page, big dog. And, you know, for what it's worth, you need to take that channel, that energy that you have towards Matt Di Benedetto, and take it to your pit crew, because they need the motivation after they squandered a couple of races here. So, you know, already. So, and also some playoff points as well. So, you know, outside of that big three, and maybe Logano and Bowyer, and they're also a couple, maybe that's probably, I'm going to cross the line right there, because this playoff is going to be really interesting. I talked about it in the post-race pod on Pocono, you know, looking at the Xfinity Series field, and Bell alone, you know, standing out with those 24 playoff points and on a three-game winning streak and trying to enter Sam R territory this weekend at the Glen in the Xfinity Series. You got pretty much after Tyler Reddick and maybe Sadler, or somewhere in there, there's pretty much nobody in there that has gained playoff points throughout the season. That's going to be really entertaining. Why? Because you get your ass in trouble, then you're going to be fighting to get in. Not only that, but if especially you have to transfer to get into the next round, and we might have some big dogs go home in the first round early in the Xfinity Series playoffs. I cannot wait for the playoffs, and then really setting up this big three that's been really taking over here up until this point. And of course, yes, we talked about the Chevys, and I mentioned the Chevys on Lap Traffic Podcast. If you have not, I'm on there with the Lucky Dog / Lap Down picks that Brandon has a segment on each and every week. But the Chevys, that's going to be key, you know, with the whole Byron Bowman getting great finishes and to Chase Elliott two consecutive races of earning playoff points and heading to the Glen, where he's coming off a Sonoma finish in the top five, impressive, back in June. So you're looking, you have that factor as well. But for Almirola, he needs to focus on trying to get that 10 back in the victory lane instead of messing around with a 20. Nothing against A and nothing against Matt, Big Matt, but I'm going to give him the benefit of doubt here. He's racing to try to get himself in the 20s, somewhere in there. And, you know, Almirola, he's a lot more better than that. So, definitely, I was definitely a little bit of surprise, you know, after, you know, a day or two just trying to analyze what happened from a fan perspective. And he don't need to be messing around with Matt DiBenedetto, that's for sure, because size-wise, DiBenedetto would have, would have knocked Almirola cold, USC style, whatever. So Almirola better steer away from that, because like I talked about with Zach, I believe it was Zach in the program. It's not the flashiest, best rivalry in the world, but you know, you definitely can get yourself in trouble, especially you have to transfer into the next round. So definitely, you know, I'm not going to worry about this too much, but you know, we'll put this in the corner for right now. We'll definitely see if these two cross, if they cross again at some point before the playoffs or even during the playoffs for that matter. Thank you for tuning in to 3 Wide with EG3, Eddie Greater 3. Here with you guys on the Stage Break edition of the podcast. Moving along to Christopher Bell. C. Bell. Doing it big at Iowa. 3 straight wins going into the Glen. And for what it's worth, I'm not going to count them out. Even though we're going to a road course, this is going to start a huge swing of road courses for the Xfinity Series. You got Mid-Ohio. You got the one up north near Wisconsin. You got that one coming up. So a lot can swing, and you have no Kyle Busch to deal with in the Xfinity Series. With that, the same can be with the Truck Series as well. You don't have to worry about Kyle Busch meddling into things here. But Christopher Bell, a lot of discussion I've been hearing this week on the road while I'm at work, listening to these podcasts about C. Bell and Toyota not letting C. Bell go anywhere. And I did not know, Big D, that Kyle Larson was with Toyota at a period of time. I had no idea about that. So, you know, I mentioned this on this show last year. Right here on this show last year, that Christopher Bell should be in that 77 for virtual racing. While with, you know, the Eric Jones departure and all that, you know, Joe Gibbs had a plan, submitted a plan for Eric Jones to be in that car for 1 year, and then of course take the seat of Matt Kenseth. I heard over the podcast I'm not gonna name it, but podcast that really kind of triggered some things here, that he said that Denny Hamlin's on his way out of Joe Gibbs Racing. I'm like, damn! Seriously? I didn't hear nothing about that. So that really cooked up the EG3 pot. Alright, so if you're, I mean, there's no rise for Christopher Bell right now. And everybody's hit on it and whatnot. You know, Christopher Bell, awfully talented, quote-unquote, put his shot out there and said, I'm ready to race in the Cup Series. Well, you know, when you beat Eric Jones last year in Kansas City, and this year you pass Kyle Busch green flag style at Kentucky on holding off Daniel Hemric for the win, and Hemric made his debut in the Cup Series at Richmond this year. And, oh, by the way, Hemric will be racing in the Roval next month. Oh, my, oh, my. And then you turn around, New Hampshire, you put the work gloves on Brad Keselowski, win at New Hampshire, and then Iowa, you put one of the sickest one of the sickest moves to this point, moving Justin Allgaier out of the way to some degree, going 3 wide. Oh, by the way, one of the mentions of the weekend, 3 wide, C. Bell on Brandon Jones and Justin Allgaier late. And that, looking at it, if that would stay green, we would have had a furious finish right down to the checkered flag. But Christopher Bell made the move of the week, going 3 wide on those guys, making the pass there, making a little contact on Allgaier, winning that one, and calling a shutout, saying, I'm ready for Cup. And when I look at him, and he might be ready for Cup, that's for sure. I called it a shot last year. Put Christopher Bell in that 77 right here. It got on tape right now. Going go back to last year, one of the episodes I focused it on Christopher Bell in a possibility of him going to 77, and of course, you know, for Giroux to span that number or at least that team for this year, and wanted to go back to focusing more on Martin Truex Jr. and his bid to try to get back to Miami and to repeat. So, you know, saying, you know, let's just go off of what I heard off this podcast. Denny Hamlin, if he's going to go out off seat, because they're talking about him struggling, really struggling, let's say that they are done with Denny Hamlin. That opens up the 11, possible for Christopher Bell to take that ride, obviously. Now, you're talking Suarez, Eric Jones, Kyle Busch, the Mad Dog in the win column, and Christopher Bell. So, that you're talking about almost going young for an organization. Instead, you still have, there's no cup rides available right now. But if there is, if something were to happen, we've seen some crazy moves happen here. Especially beginning of last year. We saw it late last year. You know, Matt Kenseth did not get a ride. He was out the door. And, well, apparently he's back, obviously, with Ross Ferrari trying to turn that whole program around. So, yeah, Christopher Bell, you know, there's a lot of talk that he got to stay in the Xfinity Series at least another year. Obviously, let's not forget about Martin Truex Jr.'s situation right now. And in the middle of trying to repeat as a NASCAR champion. So, it's interesting to see, you know, first row racing also needs sponsorship also because 5 Hour is leaving the sport. So, there you got that situation. So, you got to take care of priorities. And we'll just have to see what happens. Christopher Bell is an awfully talented, you know, obviously the truck champion of last year. And, you know, clearly the odds-on favorite to win this year's championship. And we see the crazy things happen in these playoffs in all three series. So that's not necessarily a shoo-in. But, yes, for right now, for what it is, for how he's performing on the racetrack, Christopher Bell is definitely in the catbird seat to possibly get to Miami in a race for a championship. He was there in a truck series, oh, by the way, taking part in that championship last year, which actually he's been a championship for 2 years in a row in the truck series. So this is first time in the Xfinity Series, and he has the possibility of getting back there as an Xfinity Series regular. So Christopher Bell, there's no doubt about it. He knows, especially late in the race, Big D, we have seen this time or two with him when he's battling for the lead. He will put the bold moves on you, and was now putting the slide job move on people for the race when he's not afraid to go out there and lay it out all online. So, I mean, Toyota, I definitely understand, you know, the possibility of you're scared that there's no rides on the Toyota side. But I haven't seen, you know, last time I remember, I think McMurray is a free agent also. I'm not 100% sure about that. But, you know, McMurray struggling to get into the playoffs. So, you know, that possibility. They don't want to, you know, Kyle Larson left because of unavailability. I mean, I don't know the whole backstory of that situation. And Ganassi scooped him up and look where that team is at. But Kyle Larson, compared to last year, you know, they don't have no playoff points or no wins here this year. They've been up and down, too, in 2018. So, there's a lot of variables in this situation. Christopher Bell, you know, I do agree on this part from a fan perspective, and from media perspective also. I think Christopher Bell should stay there as well, but crazier things happen, so who knows what the hell is going to happen as we get closer and closer to the end of the year, and him possibly, if the cards fall his favor, could be in contention to win a championship in the Xfinity Series. Just the three wide NASCAR podcast, 80 grid of 30. Here with the guys on the stage break on the eve of Watkins Glen weekend. And I mentioned the penalty on Kevin Harvick, 10 points. And now, from the sheet I have up here, it might be wrong, but right now, He is 58 back of Kyle Busch heading into this weekend in the original quote-unquote standings. Right now, Kyle Busch five races away from locking those 15 precious points up. If you add them right now, that's exactly 50 points right now for Kyle Busch right now. And we got five races left, and telling how many more wins you can get. And talking about this big three, there's that possibility too that they can scoop up three of the five races. I'm kind of going out on a limb and saying that, including this weekend at the Glen. So we'll have to see what happens there on that front. Martin Truex Jr. is your defending winner of this race from a year ago. So definitely going to be interesting. And another shout out to... Oh, I had it for a second there. Sorry about that. So another shout out to Michael Gardner, the PR of Watkins Glen, for setting that up, interview up, and coming on to the podcast and doing that. That was lovely to do that and get him excited for that as well. So if that episode don't get you fired up, I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know how else to talk to you guys for that. All right, just a few more minutes on tonight's stage break. Looking at some of the entry list for the Xfinity Series and Cup races. And of course, the K&N East will have their race as well up there. And as Mike talked about it, if you have not listened to it, definitely, that's a must listen, folks. Go on there and listen to it, as well as the post-race reaction. We had Mr. Zach on, and he was definitely awesome to hop on for the last week on this podcast. He's talking Pocono with us. Definitely a treat to have him on the EG3 podcast. Looking at this list here for the Xfinity Series, I see Scott Heckert will be in the 8 car. Ryan Preece back in the 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing. Justin Haley making an appearance in that 24 car. And I believe the last time he was in that car, he could have won Daytona. But he was caught for over the yellow line issue. Kyle Larson in the 42. And, of course, I got to note Jeremy Kmetz in his win, big-time upset win last year. Not at the Glen, but at the road course up in northern Wisconsin, getting that done. And Eric Almirola, speaking of that, Eric Almirola is going to be making an appearance in the number 98 car. So that is interesting in itself. And, of course, Brad Keselowski, always a factor when going to the Watkins Glen. And Keselowski will look to win another race in the Xfinity Series. And of course, when it comes to here, also comes to the Cup Series, he has not won in the Cup Series at this track. I found that quite interesting as well. And on the Cup side, the normals, as usual, Ross Chastain in the 15. But check this out. In the 23 car, Spencer Gallagher will make his Cup debut in the same number, and bring Allegiant with him. And remember we talked about this. Gallagher made a mistake after Talladega, wherever it was, parting out too much, got hit by NASCAR, got suspended for a little bit, came back, and now he's going to make his Cup debut. I found that very, very interesting, Big D, as well. Of course, Bubba Wallace is going to be getting a lot of seat time. And remember, going back to Sonoma, he was way out of left field at that racetrack, was never got comfortable at that racetrack. So going back to his roots, quote unquote, that he mentioned in Instagram when he posted that 27 car in the K&N E-Series that he's going to be driving here this weekend and getting lap time, he and Eric Jones will be going up against this Will Rogers. He sounds like a cocky dude for what that Mike talked about. And hearing him on Untitled Jeff Gluck podcast, Will Rogers seems like a talented dude, but also he comes off a little cocky, in my opinion. But he has not lost. That was quite interesting. He has not lost a road course race since racing the K&N E-Series. So he definitely beat the Cup's best, though. He beat Alex Bowman and several other guys out there in Sonoma the last time the Cup guys invaded the K&N E-Series together. So it'll be interesting to see. Well, Roger, I think, is like 18, 19 years old, something like that. So definitely the hot shot right now in that series. It'd be interesting to see, and also Parker Kligerman back in this in the seat. He was a part of that that well done broadcast, radio style broadcast that he will not be a part of, obviously, because he'll be battling on the racetrack. And Parker Kligerman put down a top 15 effort, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm gonna say top 20, but I'm pretty sure it was a top 15. But I might be maybe right, maybe wrong. But Kligerman looking to get another nice run in that number 96 for Gallant Brothers Racing right there. All right, folks, time to talk some football a little bit before we wrap up the podcast tonight. NFL is officially back tonight. Talking NFL Hall of Fame, of course, the beginning with this football game between the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, we get to see him tonight try to do his thing against the Chicago Bears. Obviously, we're not going to see the starters, obviously, for those who are just tuning in, but we're going to be seeing some young talent, as usual, on display at this football game. And of course, the festivities won't stop there. NFL class of 2018 will be inducted this weekend. Of course, Friday has their jacket ceremony, and of course, Saturday, I believe, the speeches will be going down. Should be a good one. Of course, the class features Terrell Owens. He's not going to be there anyway, so let's just put him in the back of the corner. Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Brian Urlacher, Brian Dawkins, Jerry Kramer, and Robert Brazel. Your class of 2018, along with Terrell Owens. But again, Terrell Owens, earlier, a couple of months ago, saying that he's not going to take part of it. He wants to do his own thing. That's kind of his personality. Yeah, we're going to put you in the back half. We're going to put you in the corner a little bit. And aside from that, Lewis, Moss, Urlacher, Dawkins, Kramer, and Brazil. I don't know if I said that his last name right or not. I'm just going to go with it. But definitely, this is a high power clash right here. And as a football fan, definitely watch Lewis, Moss, Urlacher, Dawkins. Obviously, never watch Brazil and Kramer in their day's play. And I'm leaving out one more other one. That's Bobby Bethard as well, in part of that class also. So he's kind of, let's put him as a replacement, that present class that he's going to replace Terrell Owens, even though Owens is part of his class, not taking part with the rest of his quote-unquote brothers, whatever. But Big D's laughing. I mean, it's true, man. It's just not the same. Don't get me started on it, because I don't have enough time to get off on a rant on that note. I kind of had a rant a couple months ago when that was announced anyway, so I'm going to leave it like it is. But yes, yeah, so Bethard, Brazil, Kramer, Dawkins, Urlacher, Moss, and Lewis. Definitely Dawkins, Urlacher, Moss, and Lewis definitely will watch plenty of football when they're playing, and they were absolute studs in a position, definitely worthy of the honor. So I'm definitely going to be tuning in to the speeches on Saturday night following the Xfinity Series race at the Glen. So definitely excited for that, and excited for racing at the Glen as well. I've never been this excited for a road course race yet. I don't know what it is. Like me and Mike talked about, I don't know, just something in the air. Something special could go down, whether history or we're going to see something happen with the playoff position. Something go quote-unquote called chaos, if you will. So a lot of anticipation this weekend. We'll just see what happens when it gets all kicked off tomorrow in upstate New York. You can listen to Three Wide on these podcasts. Adventures. We got Apple Podcasts as usual, Audio Boom, Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes. If you have time, please rate and review. That's important to us as well. It helps us out a ton, and also spreading out the word. Also retweet it on Twitter when I post it. Do what you gotta do. If you're a current listener of this podcast, spread the word. Tell your friends about the podcast and add 3YEG3 to the mix of daily podcasts at your disposal, and Speaking of Twitter, you can follow me at 3wide underscore fast Eddie. Again, at 3wide underscore fast Eddie. And one more thing, Big D, post up. Thank you. He has it on the board here. And I kind of already announced the 3-wide moment of the race, which belonged to C-Bell making the move in the Xfinity Series at Iowa last weekend. But I will save three stickers for when we do the pregame show prior to the Glen race for the Cup Series race at the Glen Sunday afternoon. So I'll have that saved up right there. And obviously, join the movement on 3-Wild EG3. You don't want to miss out. We are getting closer and closer to the cutoff for the postseason, and things might get a little crazy on this weekend. We'll have to see what happens there. But for right now, we got a close-up shot. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another edition of 3-Wild with EG3. Thank you for tuning in to the State Break edition to the podcast. The next time I'll be talking to you guys is Saturday night at some point. We'll be getting you guys ready for the Gold Bowling at the Glen race. It is going to be a good one. I don't know what it is. I've been pumped up since the checkered flag dropped at Pocono. And maybe because my driver has a chance to make a little hit side history. Or maybe it's a possibility of seeing somebody else get the victory lane who's outside the top 16. I don't know. But I'm pumped up for this weekend and excited to get this thing going. All right, folks. Big D, thanks for what you do as usual. Eddie Greer saying so long for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. We will talk to you this weekend, getting you pumped up for the Glen. Until now, we out.